Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I feel a little out of practice this morning. So I'm going to start with something easy and something I think most of us are familiar with. There was a packet of these left in my mailbox, and they are for our Sunday school children. This is Luther's Small Catechism. Now, the reason why I grabbed that is because I do believe that if you went through confirmation class, anything similar to mine, you were required to know the bulk of it, okay? And although it's been 40-some-odd years and I don't specifically remember word for word a lot of it, it is still something that I do refer to. The reason why it's kind of important to me now, and that is that having completed one more course in December, I had only two choices to pick starting in the spring semester, and the course was Luther and his catechisms, which I know one of the requirements, again, is that at my age, I need to memorize this again word for word. And I just am so looking forward to it. But you know, the first three things in here were really, really, really important to Luther. When Luther began putting catechisms together, and what is made up the small catechism, he did it for a reason. And that is because at his time, the church hierarchy greatly lacked in the instruction of the very important things that people truly needed. And most importantly, those that were raised up within a community to serve as the spiritual leader. In his own words, he found these conditions despicable. And he picked three things that he felt were very, very important for any worship leader and also for people within a parish to know: the commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Now later he added the sacraments. He also added the office of the keys and confession. But those three were Luther's big, big things. Now out of those three, two were given to us by God. The Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai were given to Moses in the stone tablets. And the Lord's Prayer was given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. The one that's in the middle is the Apostles' Creed. And the creed was developed by the church fathers. Now, you might wonder where all that came about, and that's my point today. The creeds that we use were there really for one purpose and one purpose only: to defend against heresy. The creeds were there whenever the identity of Jesus was challenged. Whenever it was challenged. In other words, true God and true man. Now, we live in a society, we know how important our identity is. We have companies that constantly put things out to try to protect our identity. Now, why anybody would want my identity, I'm not quite sure. But they do it anyway. It's something that we live with. And we can also see in this day and age how an identity can be stolen and it can be torn down. Well, whether it was the intention to simply tear Christ apart, these were the things that John dealt with long before the creeds when he wrote his gospel. Now, a little background on John. It is assumed this gospel was probably the last one written that challenges to Christ's humanity and his deity were already taking place. The Gospel of John is the most theological out of them all. There are no parables in John. There are seven miracles, five of which are not found in the other three Gospels. He used the information that he had to drive home who and what Christ was, who he was and what he accomplished. And he did it right from the very, very, very first verse. And in that first verse, he declares, "In the beginning was the Word, the living Word of God. And it was there, and everything was created through it." This is John's message to the world. Now, some may ask, well, why was that important? Because at the time there was confusion as to whether he was a prophet like John. And the gospel writer also pulls that apart and says, no, John was the one that was supposed to come before. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. But in any way, shape, or form, diminishing either Christ's humanity or his divine nature creates problems and issues for Christ's people. For if Christ was not fully human, that means he didn't suffer. He didn't understand the world. His pain and suffering would have been diminished. And question whether or not fleshly beings like ourselves could actually be raised. And the list goes on and on and on. You could spend a half an hour just on that subject. And yet, if he was truly human in nature, did I get that backwards? I might have. If he was truly human in nature, his sacrifice would have been incomplete to God. Because no one human being could atone for the sins of Adam and Eve. No one living human being could atone for the sins of the world. So his divinity must stay in place. So he can't be just prophet. He can't be just God. He needs to be both human and divine. And it's in this that John speaks out, and John says that he was there. And these are things that created, that began to create Christ's real identity that the church has held to so long for so many years. And it's something in the best of my ability to drive home today. And to do it very, very simply. Jesus was there when this was created. Jesus was there and saw you in your mother's womb. Jesus was there and saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob born. Jesus will be there at the end of time. But Jesus also laughed. He cried. He bled. He felt. He wept. He died. He felt all those pains. He felt those nails. He gave all of that to be the promised Messiah that God had promised so long ago. He did it knowing what was coming because he could feel what you and I feel. He could feel love and compassion, but he could also feel the struggles and the strifes of humanity. It's what made his sacrifice so complete because he could fully understand our pain and our suffering. And yet being divine, he could fully atone for our sins. Our Lord and Savior felt all these things and in dying accomplished all these things. It's John is shaping Jesus' identity. Much like this little book helped to shape mine and probably yours. Helped to shape who we are. But sometimes we lose focus as to the importance of who he was and what he did. Know that he did all these things for you. Know that he was the fulfillment of the promise. Know that he was both human and divine. And live in the identity of someone that felt everything you feel. Live in the identity of someone that died for everything we couldn't do. Live in the identity of someone that loves you. Know that when we receive the Lord's Supper, that we receive him. Know that living through our baptism, we are identified with him. This is the true purpose of John's gospel, that we never lose sight of the great sacrifice that God himself did in Christ. Not human beings, but God himself. And he did this out of love for each and every one of us. It shapes who we are. It shapes who people see. It's an identity that's just as important as that picture on our driver's license. In fact, it's the most important one. It's who people see and who they identify us with. And know that you are adopted children of God, identifying with a Lord and Savior that sacrificed all for you and to give you hope in living and in dying and in living. May you carry him with you always. Amen.